anyway, today's message is called Unity Part 2. We talked last week in Unity Part 1, we were talking about not having a divided mind, but getting, you know, and in other words, not letting doubt or fear be in our mind, because this divides us and this separates us from the blessings of God. God wants to bring those in. But if we let our mind be divided, then we cannot receive those blessings. And so we talked about unity in the individual last week and getting our heart and our mind lined up. Today I want to talk about, in Unity Part 2, unity in your house, in your home. If you live alone, well, then you've got already, you're kind of ahead because you heard last week's message and you're there by yourself. But most of us, we have other people living at home with us. And even here at Golden Heart, this is a home. This is a house of God. And so we're with other people. And in that, we need to have unity. We need to have unity in this house and in your home. If there is not unity in your home, you cannot expect to have the blessings of God work in a powerful way. If there is division, let me read something here. This is kind of our verses that we've been looking at and standing on. This is in Mark chapter 3 and verse 24. It says, if a kingdom, this is Jesus speaking, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Our home, our house will not thrive and prosper the way we are believing or hoping that it should if there is division within the house. And if there is fear in the home, fear will, or doubt will bring up strife, and then there will be division. We cannot allow that to happen. We need to chase out the fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if you notice in your house a family member who is filled with doubt or fear, it's time to have a talk with them. Work with God to release that. Don't let that stay under your house, because if that's there, there is now division in your house. And a house divided will not stand. In other words, it won't prosper. It won't have the blessing that God is saying. If you want more blessing to come into your house, bring unity into your home. Unity. What is that magic factor that brings unity into your home? Love. Love is the unifying factor. Where love is, fear has been cast out. When we have that love towards God, the doubt is washed away. When we can open our hearts and let the love come in, now it unifies everybody. We need to have a common vision under our house. Do not let there be strife or division, because that divides the home and now the blessing doesn't happen. It takes courage sometimes to talk to somebody else that's not living under the same roof and share with them, hey, something's going on. We need to get on the same page. We need to be walking in the same direction. We need to be working towards the same thing. Because if you don't, that blessing that you're believing for can't come in the same great way that God wants it to come in. I want to talk about a few houses that they talk about in the Bible and the division that was in them. As you know, let's first go back and cover some of these positive points of what we really want. I want you to have a clear understanding. So love is going to create the unity in your house. So we've got to begin to work. That's why I covered in week one, we talked about the individual. Because if you get united with God, in God's vision, and everybody in the house is under that, now suddenly we've got a unified house. And now the blessing begins to flow into that house in a great and powerful way. When two agree, doubts lose their power. Doubt loses its power, and the soul is enlarged. The power of God can go to work when two agree. If everybody in your house is agreeing, is in agreement, Now the power of God, the supernatural power of God, begins to work in your house, begins to move through your life. And I say in your house, it can be at your work, you know, it can be out in your yard. It doesn't have to just be in the house. Don't get too literal with me. You know, I'm talking about wherever you go, now the power of God begins to work in a great way. But we've got to have the people in the same house in agreement and believing for the same things. We don't want to have division in there. And what happens when we have division? Listen to this. You might know or have heard about King Solomon. You remember King Solomon? King Solomon was the son of David. King David, he's got this son. He takes over after him, King Solomon. And it talked about the riches of King Solomon. David did all the hard work. He fought all the battles. And by the time King Solomon took over, there was peace in the land. All the enemies were no longer attacking. And in fact, he was running everything. And they were bringing all kinds of tribute of gold and silver. And said silver was so common that it was worthless. There was just so much of it. And everything was seen to be made of gold when you read about King Solomon. He had cups of gold and plates of gold. I mean, everything was. And it talks about King Solomon's wisdom. He had incredible wisdom. Queen Sheba came. She tested him. She heard about his wisdom. So she comes up from Egypt and she says, I want to find out how wise is this guy. And she tests him with tough questions, it says. And he answers them all. No problem. So King Solomon's got incredible, incredible wisdom. The problem was he had some wives. And some of his wives did not have the same beliefs that he did. He was believing in the Lord God, the same God that David believed in. But some of his wives were believing in something else. They were believing in other gods. They had idols that they were worshiping in. Pretty soon, and think about this. This is the wisest guy in the world. This guy's got all the wisdom on his side, but because there was division in his house, it began to crumble and it began to fall. It didn't matter that he had all the wisdom. He started having problems. Pretty soon, the power of God wasn't working in his kingdom anymore because of this division. Jesus said, a house divided will not stand. A kingdom divided will not stand. And that was what was happening to King Solomon because there was division. It started to crumble. Enemies started rising up against him. That wasn't happening in the beginning. You've got to bring your house together. As wise as King Solomon was, he missed out on this one simple point. Have unity in your house. Have a common vision. Let your love be working towards the same thing. If someone in your house has self-love, now we have division. We need to have a common goal. When you're loving just for yourself, you've separated yourself. You want whatever you want. There's already division going on there. And that's what was happening with King Solomon's wives. Now let's check out another story. Here's another house. This is a little widow. This little widow, she's poor and she hasn't got a lot. And there's been a famine going on in the land where she lives, and she's just about out of food. And she decides she's going to come out and collect some wood to make a fire, and she's going to cook her last meal for her and her son, because that's all they got. And then they're going to die. This is what she said. And along comes this man named Elijah. And Elijah was instructed by God to come there, and that this woman was going to take care of him, which, you know, in the physical, you look at that, how's this woman going to take care of him? She can't even take care of herself. But that was the plan of God. And he says to this widow, he says, okay. And she says, look, I don't have enough to make you a cake. You know, I was just going to cook this and then die. And Elijah says, okay, do what you're going to do, but first make me a cake. Now, you're sitting there, you got your last meal for you and your son. Think about your child. You get your last meal for your child. You know, some mothers wouldn't even have a meal. She'd have two meals for her son. She'd save that meal for him. And here comes this stranger, knocks on the door. Make me a cake first. Now, I think it would have been very easy for her to say, I'll tell you what, my son and I we'll have lunch. And then if you want to make yourself some lunch with what's left over, go right ahead. No problem. But that would have created division in the house. And this lady, she agreed with what Elijah said. She came into agreement with them. She said, I will do what you say. She is agreeing not only with Elijah, she's agreeing with God. She knew that this was a prophet of God, and God had sent him to her house. And when she came into agreement, this is not a divided house. The divided house would have starved to death. That would have been it. No, this house is in harmony. They have a common vision. God is going to take care of us. And they're believing together, and their love for God was stronger than any situation or circumstance. It didn't matter. Situations and circumstances don't have power when full believing in love is there. And we know what happened. That flour and that oil, which was only had enough to provide one meal, did not run out. In fact, it lasted until that drought was over. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And that happens because there is unity. There is a unity in the house. Now, this is a story that we hear about and we think, bye, that is so great. I love that story. It's never going to happen to me because it was a long time ago. No, it will happen to you. What is the key? The key is to get unity into your house. These same miracles, signs, and wonders can happen to you every single day in your home if you have the unity. If you have everybody that's under your roof believing and in alignment with God's love, then it will happen. Great things will happen. Wonderful and powerful things will take place. Now, don't feel bad if you're sitting there thinking, uh-oh, I've got division in my house. I feel kind of bad about it. Don't feel bad about that. Because Jesus had a house divided. Yeah. Even Jesus had a house divided. Jesus had chosen 12 disciples. Listen to what he says here. So, here it is. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus has a divided house here. Everybody in this ministry, which is his house, is not on the same page. Some are believing for the kingdom of God, for heaven on earth, for what Jesus has been talking about, yet not all of them. Because look, this one guy, Judas they're talking about, listen to what it says about him. Now, in John chapter 12, it talks about Mary coming and anointing Jesus with this expensive oil. Here's what Judas says about it. He gets all upset. He says, "But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?'" This, now it says here in verse 6, "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." Just think about all the disciples are out there working towards the same cause to help Jesus bring his ministry, let everybody know the good news of what's happening. They're all out there bringing in donations, bringing them into the box, and here's Judas Iscariot. He's got a whole different mission going on. Hey, don't, we can give that oil to the poor or put it in my pocket. This is a house divided right here. But, and so Jesus knows the rule. If a house divided, it's going to fall. He said that. He knows this. So what happens? This house falls. But the whole point was, remember, this house had to fall. Jesus had to be crucified. He had to be betrayed so that he could resurrect and bring a new house, bring a new kingdom, one that's not divided, but one that's united. See, now there's a harmony. See, we don't have to have that in our house because now we can invite Jesus in the new unified home into our house so that we have that incredible love and power of unity so that our house will not be divided but have the power to stand and last so the blessing of God can pour in, so the healing and the goodness that God has planned for us can be in our lives. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is that if you let division go, even Jesus, who had division, he knew what it was going to result in, but he also knew the divine plan, and he knew that it had to happen. But in your house, you're believing for blessing. Say amen to that,
amen.
Right? If you're not believing for blessing, don't say amen to that. But if you're believing for blessing, say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. And so you're believing for good things to happen. You're believing for prosperity. You're believing for health. You're believing for love to flow mightily in your house. And so this is, when this comes, now goodness can take place. But we got to weed out any area where there's fear or doubt, because that will create strife. And listen to what it says here. James is talking in chapter 3 and verse 16, and he says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." When the fear comes and the doubt comes, now it creates strife. It creates strife within the individual. It creates strife within the house. The minute strife is there, now anger begins to build. This is the way it works. And now, when that's there, then it opens the door for bad things to happen. That's what James is saying. You don't want that? Let's get a unified house. Let's get set in a common vision. Now, there is an example here in the Bible, and I want to point this out because I think some people point to this. We got to understand what it is, but this is another house. And this is a divided house, but it doesn't fall. It gets blessed. And we want to look at why does this house get blessed when it's not exactly, you know, unified. This is the house of Potiphar. Potiphar is the guy, remember, he bought Joseph as a slave. And Joseph's working in his house. And when we look, it says that down here in Genesis chapter 39, and if we go down to verse 5, it says, "So it was from the time that he had made him overseer." Remember, Potiphar made Joseph overseer over his whole house. "Overseer of his whole house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house." So Potiphar's house is blessed for Joseph's sake. "And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field." So Potiphar is not worshiping the Lord God. But the Lord God, it says here, that so, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." So Potiphar's seeing Joseph. He's seeing that the Lord is with Joseph. "And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority." So Potiphar is worshiping other gods. He's from Egypt. He's got other gods to worship, right? Joseph has the Lord with him. The blessing is upon Joseph. And obviously, Potiphar knows something's going on with this guy. Everything he touches, good things happen. So he's a smart guy. He puts him in charge. But this is still a house which has different viewpoints here. This is not a unified house here. One guy's believing in God. Another guy's believing in these idols. This is a divided house, so this house should fall. So why was this house blessed? It says it's for Joseph's sake. For Joseph's sake, this house is blessed. But we got to understand, how does that work? We got to understand that Joseph is a slave in this house. He didn't have choice. If Joseph had choice, he wouldn't be living in this house. But because he is bound to this house, the blessing of God now comes into it for Joseph's sake, because God wants to bless Joseph. So we can't misunderstand thinking, oh, I can leave my house divided, and for my sake, everything's going to be blessed. No, because you have free choice. You're not bound to this person like Joseph was. And that's why it was for his sake. So you got to remember and see that. So don't let strife or division remain there thinking, oh, well, it's okay because I'm blessed and blessing is going to come into my house. Jesus made it very clear what would happen if there was division in your house. We want to get that unity in our house. So don't use this and say, oh yeah, there's no problem here. Potiphar's house was blessed because Joseph had no choice. And the blessing of the Lord was on Joseph. So wherever he went, because he did not have the free choice at that time to just walk away from Potiphar, which he would have done. Where would have Joseph gone if he was a free man? He would have gone back to his family. He wouldn't have stayed with Potiphar. And how many times did he say, guys, I'm not even supposed to be here. You know, I was taken unlawfully, you know, from my father's house. I should be back over there. So God is blessing this house, even though it is not unified. There is blessing coming in for Joseph's sake, because in this case, Joseph doesn't have the choice to leave. So that blessing is coming for him. It's for his benefit. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Make sense? So we want to let that love and that unity keep coming in. Now let me go down here. I want to talk about, this is in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 26. And listen to what, again, this is Paul talking. And he says, be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. He says you can be angry with that stuff or angry at it, but don't sin. He says, do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. Don't let the anger stay and dwell in you. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge, or nurturing anger, or harboring resentment, or cultivating bitterness. What Paul is writing about here is he's warning us, don't let the anger stew and fester inside of you over a period of time. It's okay to be upset that, oh, that's not right, that's against God. Notice it, acknowledge it, but don't harbor it, don't carry it, don't nurture it, he says. Don't let it fester, right? Don't let the sun even go down on holding that kind of anger in there. Let it go. And we know why that is, because if we go now, so on this one he's warning us, don't let that be in your house. That also goes for couples or families. If there's a fight, don't go to bed angry. You should talk about this and give that anger to Jesus. Don't let that stay in your house overnight. Paul is warning of this. He says, get that out of there. Don't let it stay in your heart. Let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. Why? So love can come into the house. Because remember, this is the unifying factor is love. Let's read over here now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is Paul writing again. Paul's a pretty smart guy. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I mean, he kind of has this figured out. He says here, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, I profit nothing. He goes on to talk about the importance of love. Remember, this is how God is working in our lives. Now, what Jesus did with his disciples is he was forming a unified plan in his house. He was talking about his mission, and he was saying what they're going to do and where they're going to go. We're bringing the gospel. We're bringing heaven on earth. We're teaching the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus, and he's telling his disciples this. Why? Because you got to have a common vision of what we're going to do in this house. Where are we going to go? And that's what Jesus is talking about. And he's talking about the importance of love. And now that love begins to work. And we see what Paul is talking about. He talks about the importance of love and how important it is to have that love in the house if we want it to work. Here's another point where Jesus is clarifying his vision. He says to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. He's trying to get them focused that they've got to be laborers. They got to bring in the harvest. They got to bring the people of God into that heavenly space to let the Spirit of God come in so that God can bless them. So that God can bring unity not only into their hearts and minds, but also into their homes. And when you have that now, you start to see, when you come into agreement in your house, now the power of God goes to work to change everything, to transform everything. Your health will transform. Your bank account will transform. Your neighborhood will transform. Because the power of that house being unified starts to go out and have a positive effect on everything. Everything. That's the kind of unity we need to have in our houses. We need to have that kind of unity in our hearts and our minds, as I was talking about last week, but we need to have that kind of unity in our houses as well. If you believe in God, you've invited Jesus into your heart, you need to let the power of love, the power of the Spirit of God be working in your house. It will nourish you. It will strengthen you. It will bless you. It will change you. It'll change the way you see the world. It'll change the way you think. It'll change what you say. It requires a little bit of discipline, though, and a little bit of courage to let everybody in your house know this is what's required. Jesus was telling his disciples, we've got to have a unified vision. After Judas Iscariot did what he had to do, the disciples asked another disciple to come. It was someone else that had been following. They took really a great deal of time to choose and pick and make sure he knew what the vision was, because they now had saw that what Jesus said, a house divided won't stand. They knew, we've got to have our house in order. Our house has to be clear. Our vision has to be clear. And if we're going to invite a 12th disciple to join us now, to take Judas's place, he's got to have the same understanding. He's got to be filled with the same love. He's got to have the same goal. He can't be dipping his hand into the purse and taking money out. No, he's got to be believing that this mission is about bringing in the harvest, that this mission is about changing people by love, by the power of God, and spreading the gospel wherever he goes. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And that's what they did. And that's why we're here today. Because the message flourished. As we gather here today, let's think about the purpose. I'm glad that Seth shared this video up here today about Golden Heart changing lives. It's always been Eliza and my desire that lives change. I don't want anyone to come to Golden Heart and not see their life changing. And I know that the power of God will go in. You just have to welcome it. You just have to let it come in. And when the Spirit of God fills you, you'll start to see great changes taking place in your life on all levels. Golden Heart is about changing lives, and that happens through love. As we unify behind that vision, as we understand that we're still about bringing in the harvest, there are people out there in the world that don't know God, or they might know of God, but they don't know His love. They don't know how good it feels to feel His Spirit. They don't know that there's something beyond this physical. They only see this physical life, and they're filled with fear. They don't know the promises of God. They don't know all the great things that God wants to do in their life, like He's been doing in your life. Our mission is still the same, to take that message out to them in a loving way, in a kind way. And as we share it with them, their lives will change and they will be transformed. And what we'll be doing is, if we can all agree on that, we have unity in this house. And if we have unity in this house, we will see even greater miracles. We will see even greater miracles working on all levels of your lives and all of those who you speak to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.